Hey everybody, this is Diane and you're listening to the Unapproved Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. As I've said before, and I'll say it again for anyone who's new, we just jump right into this podcast. I decided, I don't know, a couple episodes ago that I was no longer going to try to, for one, it's expensive to pay for all the licensing for that kind of stuff. Also, I don't think it's needed. My job here is not about the fluff. I just want to talk to you guys and share some things, and hopefully it helps somebody. So with that being said, let me give you kind of an update about how to contact me should you want to do that. You can reach out to me direct message, I believe. That's what they call it. Over on Substack, my publication over there is called Trust Issues by Diane at Substack. So you can go over there and check that out. And I try to keep a theme just so I can keep my mind straight. It doesn't always work, but hopefully, as I sit and think about the next word, so hopefully, it might be something you've interest in, but that's how you can reach me. You can also email me at Diane Reiser, DianeReiser, at Oak and Tusk Guidance Services.com, and that's Oak, OAK, and Tusk, TUSK, Guidance, GUIANDANCE, Services.com. I know it's a long one, bear with me. So anyways, so you can reach out to me there if you want to go to that website, Oak and Tusk Guidance Services, .com. You can also learn more about what my services are if you're interested. And also you can just kind of get a little bit of knowledge about me. At some point, I'm hoping to kind of get my Substack connected to that website. But to be honest, I'm not sure if I'm excited about that website, the location and server, so things might change. Bear with me as I grow and try to provide information to everybody as succinctly as I can. I'm all about efficiencies, and I'm trying to make it as kind of funneled down to one or two sources. Okay, so something that I've been asked to do a couple different times is doing a like Q&A. So I could go off for hours, because I get really excited about this stuff, knowing that everybody, literally everybody, can connect with loved ones in some way. Everybody has intuition. Everybody. That's how we've survived. It's how we use it and how connected we are. That's what I love about when I teach, because it builds that intuitive strength, and that intuitive strength helps do these other things. But what's really cool about my class is like when I do teach my oracle card readings, or any, it doesn't have to be oracle, but if that's just what I personally use, any type of oracle or tarot cards, because we read them intuitively and I teach people how to utilize their intuition and utilize evidence in a way to provide a reading that their sitter or my clients can connect to. And that's all intuition. So if I can take someone who's never done a reading or never done anything before with their cards, and have them doing it successfully by the end of class, now, not professionally, but yes, successfully, like they're actually getting some evidential information, that because now I know they're connected and I know that they are learning not just doing readings for other people, but how to hear them, the guidance for themselves. That's super important. So that's the intuitive side of me. See, I told you I can get going. You use your intuition for mediumship, for psychic work, and for cards. Okay, but what I want to focus on, because see, I can get going, I want to focus on just the mediumship side. So I've received a few different questions during readings with clients and that sort of thing. So I wrote those down, but I don't think that would give you everything that you might want. So what I did is I used ChatGPT and just asked, what do people want to know about someone who does mediumship? And then I filtered through whether there's some of them that clients have asked me I'd forgotten about, but were familiar, or things that I think you might want, I would want to know, or things I think you should know as a customer or client to someone going, who does mediumship. Okay. Then at the end of this, after I get done with the Q&A, I'm actually going to draw a card or two, depends, and do just a quick, where are we at with things in the world? Any kind of guidance that comes through, it may be for a specific person listening, or it may be for the collective, but I'll do that at the end. Okay, so let me just kind of look at what I got going on. All right. Yes, I have a list. Okay, so what did I say? I'm going to do 15. I did 12, so we'll do 12. Okay. First question was, how do you receive messages from the deceased? Okay, so someone like myself, and I believe everybody has your own communication style. Because remember, we're talking to our loved ones on the other side. And so think about how you communicated with them when they were on this side of things. You had a special communication style. No matter who you are, we all have a kind of a special communication style as individuals, and then you combine that with a loved one, and now you got something very unique, no matter who it is. So we all have this connection, and so for me, as my style is, I hear them like a thought in my head. So some people, I'm not going to get into how others do it. Let's just focus on me. Sorry, this isn't a class per se. So for me, I hear like thoughts in my head. And how do you tell the difference? I can tell the difference because they're random. They come in out of nowhere. Or if I'm asking, like if I'm doing a medium reading, I have evidence that it's them through telling my client what I'm hearing, and they can connect to it. Okay. So I can hear them like thoughts in my head. I see them. How do I see them? Like an imagination, like an imaginary person. If you think in your, like, if someone tells you to imagine a yellow ball, that's how I see them. Okay. So it's kind of like I see them in my mind's eye. I can feel them. I have had experiences where confirmation has been a feeling of kind of like, the best way to describe it is sort of like a energy flow through your body. It's very hard to describe. If you can imagine like when you get goosebumps and how it kind of slowly comes in, that's what it feels like, that, but for a little bit longer than just a few seconds, a goosebump happens, but that's kind of the thing. And yeah, I will get goosebumps with that as well. I have smelt them before. And you guys, there are formal words descriptions for this, like whether you're clairsentient or clairaudient, which is hearing them. There's all the clairs. I have a very bad memory. And especially as I get older, because I'm menopause. So I don't remember all the clairs. If that's something you're interested in, and I do teach them in my class, so people know them, and some people will memorize them. But for me, it's not something I'm able to memorize. Know they exist, so you can research them, just like in any kind of classes or that sort of education. But it's just not my thing. Some people memorize them, some don't. I just know I can see, hear, taste, that sort of thing. So back to the smell thing, I have smelled spirit with the smell of smoke. And that would be, that was, I remember that one very distinctly because it was my brother and he smoked cigarettes. And sometimes that smell would be really strong on him if he had a coat that he wore all the time or that sort of thing. So that's kind of, I would smell that very briefly. And that's pretty common, actually. You'll hear people talk about that. And I received taste a couple times. And what was interesting is that was the taste of blood, and I think that one might even be common. But I didn't even realize what it was the first time it happened. I just kind of made note of like a weird taste in my mouth. But it was reading for a friend of mine when I was explaining to her that like an hour before the reading, on my way there, I got this really weird taste in my mouth. It was sort of tinny, and I couldn't figure out what that was, and because it was a friend, I was relaxed enough to just go, "Does that make sense to you?" And she said, "Yes. If you think about it, it's taste of blood because it was my father, because I'd already given her other evidence." So that helped me. I didn't even know what the taste of blood would come through as. So that was the first time. And I may have other times too, but being straightforward and honest, that is not something I lean into. Tasting things is not, I mean, I like food, but that's not something that has come through as a major thing. Like I said, the blood thing, when that happens now that it's happened to me a couple times, I will recognize that. But geez, I don't get like strawberry taste if somebody made strawberry pies all the time or something like that. And I don't know what that's like for others who do get that or have that experience as mediums. And if you're a medium listening to me and you do have that experience, I would love to hear about it because I don't know how that is other than for blood. Okay, so there's that. Number two, how do you know the message is really from my loved one and not just something you're picking up on? And that this is for my skeptics, and this is a fair one. And I want everybody to be skeptical when you go to a medium because but don't be a jerk. Don't sit there with your arms crossed and not give them yes, no's or anything because we need to work with energy. And if you clam up like that, you're clamming up on the energy. And by the way, you're letting any loved ones know that you're not interested. And so why would they come in? You have to be open and kind, but you also have to be, what's the word? You need to be an advocate for yourself and know whether or not these people are legit or not. And I think I get into that down the road. Yeah, I talk a little bit about that. But the way you know is, first of all, evidence has to, the client has to know for sure that it's their loved ones. What's that look like? It needs to be real confirmed evidence specific to the deceased. So, physical features. So, when I do readings, I will often see them, maybe not so much like their image clear, but if hair was a big deal for them, I will, it's almost like a floating wig. But it's so hard to describe, but I kind of want to give you guys an understanding so in case you have something similar, you know what you're seeing. It's like that. I might see a vague, maybe a, I know that there's a face there, but the features, unless the features are super striking, I won't specifically see features. Again, if it's hair, I'll see them kind of messing with their hair. So physical features, if they're short, whatever, different things like that. Musical taste, I will hear music. I've had, for example, I have had it where I might get this. I had one time, I remember, a country song come in like a week or two before my session, and this was early on with this particular client. I did not know that that is sort of a sign for her family member. Since then, he comes in often using music. So, a few of my clients do that. If they loved line dancing and country music was their thing and they did a lot of line dancing, like Boot Scoot Boogie might come in. And for those around the world, that's a country song, Brooks and Dunn, Great band if you haven't heard of them. Anyway, so I might get that kind of thing happening. Language, I don't know, but the client did also. And by the way, with the music, I will tell my client, like, the song came in, this is what I was feeling, that sort of vibe. For the language, I've had it where a word will come to mind. I don't know what it means. I had a couple, I had some clients come in, and I don't remember specifics about any of my sessions because they're coming through me, not from me, but I will remember little things that we talk about afterwards, or anything that comes into me before, because it's not, I'm not stepped out of myself. These are things that are happening to my conscious self, if that makes sense. But I had a woman, a Jewish woman who spoke Yiddish and was a baker. And I couldn't tell you what the word is today, but I kept saying the word over and over and over. And finally, the client was like, "What are you trying to say?" So I said it out loud clear, and that's when she heard it. She understood what that was. And that was connected to someone she loved. That was the first time with that, and I have picked up German before. And knowing about an event or an item that I wouldn't know of is another example of evidence. So sometimes I will get different imagery that represents either an event that the client was at, I would not know about, or that they went to together. So that sort of thing. Or they'll show me something that I would never know was relative to the client. Okay, so that is how you know the message is really for my loved ones. Okay, the next one is, can you describe what my loved one is like now, and are they happy? This one, I'm going to start that just to kind of mention to you. I'm going to give you my view, my input, but just this one, you have to be careful when you go to a medium to make sure that they're not manipulating you with this. This wouldn't, I'm glad it was on the list because I have seen people get manipulated. Okay, so yes, I can describe, and again, I go back to the previous question with evidence. First of all, when spirit, our loved ones come in, oftentimes they may come in at first looking how they were when they left, if that was a huge highlight point. Oftentimes they will then either, or they will come in looking their best, how the client might remember them the most or wish them to be, because they will look, that may have been their healthiest kind of thing. So that is some description I can give them. Like, let's say I've had people who were like ballerinas, and maybe at the end of their life, they may have had something happen where they weren't able to use their legs anymore. Well, they'll come in and show me their legs and dance, and I won't know this person was a ballerina, but my client will. And so I'll tell them, "Oh, wow, they're dancing, they're doing like plie, whatever it might be." That's how you know. There's some evidence there. They'll show me the hair, like I mentioned before. Maybe hats was a big deal. So I may see a baseball hat or a fedora, whatever, this type of thing. So I'll get that sort of information that will confirm that I am seeing your loved one, and that they look this way, a certain way. They look great. And are they happy? Yes. Now, that isn't to say that yes, they're happy because they're at peace and they're on the other side, but that is not to say that they will not come in. Let's say your great uncle, whatever, was known to be a real jerk, and but on the other side, they're not this way, but that was who they were known for. That's how they're going to come in. I might get a feeling like this person is big and boisterous and takes up a lot of space and expects everybody to stop and listen to them and kind of be there for, you know, like, bah. So if that's what I get coming in, that's some evidence. But then what will happen is once that's confirmed, they'll like, then I can start to sort of see them go back to who they were intended to be or the happiest they were kind of place. So that's kind of cool. Yes, always happy. I wrote, they may come in at first. Yep. Okay. This is what I put as a note. This is not permission for mediums to give generalized, they're doing great information. It must be part of the evidence process. Okay. It's not okay. And you may get this. It's okay if they say, yes, they're happy. But how do you know they're happy? Give me some evidence. Oh, well, now they use their legs they weren't using before. That's how you know. Okay. That's the evidence I think of. That's what comes through for me. And I have a hard time believing that any medium I've ever gone to who was solid and legit has always provided me with full information. So that is important for you to know. Advocate for yourself. Number four, do they know what's going on in my life? Are they aware of significant events? Yes, 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 yes. If you're thinking of them, thinking is energy. And we can go to science about that. So think thoughts are energy. So if thoughts are energy and their energy, our loved ones are now in an energetic form, then they know what's going on because they hear your thoughts. When you're thinking of them, they come closer because you want them there. You invite them in. And also, they just are watching out over you. And how do I know this? Because it sounds a little woo-woo and weird. Because whenever my clients sit down in front of me, I'm able to give them the evidence of things I would not know of that. It might be, again, one time I remember the discussion of a T-ball set up. And yeah, because my son just started T-ball and grandpa would have been so proud. So that connected. The grandpa was already, and there was other evidence, but that, yeah, grandpa was part of it. Okay. I was trying to think, like, wedding dresses, I might see wrapped gifts, I've gotten a dozen roses to give to my client. And that's for my clients. Now I'm going to tell you something. For me personally, whenever we've gone through struggles in our lives, I've seen or heard my loved ones guiding us. And so I know that exists. But in order for you to know, my clients to know that it's legit, I have to provide you guys the evidence. Okay. Me just saying, oh, I saw my grandpa, there's no reason for you to believe me. There's no reason for you not to. But if we're speaking from a skeptical point of view with all of this, we have to look at it that way. Okay. What's the reason to believe? Evidence. Always evidence. Okay. Did they have any last messages or regrets they want to share? Yes. If they do, I would have that to give them. And that usually will come in before a client asks about that. But that just to give you understanding of client readings. And I don't think regret's the word. It's not, because once you've crossed over, you understand that you had all these lessons and things you had to deal with. From what I'm told, what I've read, is that a lot of time that when we cross over, we get kind of a review of what we went through in our life, what we did, what we didn't do, that sort of thing. Not a judgment, but just kind of like kind of a recap, right, of the life. And so they have amends to make. They want to make amends. And so they will do that if you call them in. But regret, I don't think is a good word for this, because they don't, on this side, they would be regretful if that's who they were on this side. Yes. But on the other side, regret is more lessons. And so they just need to make amends for the lessons they had to go through and what they had to put us through. And sorry that they had to do it, because they don't know until they're on the other side that they absolutely had to go through what they went through. That was part of their process, their lessons, and crossing your path. So they're part of your lessons too. Okay. And those lessons, by the way, are not, if you come from a rough background, the lessons aren't that you are a shitty person and that's why you got treated like shit. No. The lessons may be that you are worthy and that you can survive through that and that you can become something bigger and better and more. That that person in that time period did not keep you down. Those are the lessons. The lessons with spirituality are to uplift. That means build you up for growth and progress. Okay? Anything happening in our lives are to teach us things, not because you're bad, but so that we can progress and do good for others down the road. Okay? And think about anything you've gone through that was a struggle. I'm kind of going on a tangent, but it's coming in, so that's what I'm giving you. Anything that you've gone through that's a struggle, you've been able to share that information to others, or you can use that to help others. So there's never a, what I would say, a waste of time, because anything that we go through will help either us or someone else down the road. Okay? Okay. Will they be with me during important times of my life? And we talked about that, about knowing what's going on. Yes, absolutely. That was sort of a repetitive question. I apologize. Good old chat GPT. Do they ever give guidance or advice? Yes. And that's what they're supposed to do. That's their job. That's their assignment. That's what they want to do for us. And so, yes, and that's where my, any of us who teach intuition, that's where your intuition, strength is so important. We can build the intuition, through different practices so that you become more sensitive to the vibrations of things and you can get your guidance. In the perfect world, in my mind, everybody would be getting direct access to the guidance. That's what my goal is, to get everybody to, if everybody received their own guidance, like legit understood, heard their guidance, which by the way is always of the good. You will never get guidance that tells you to hurt others, because that's not spiritual, that's not uplifting, that's not high vibration. So if I don't know where I was going because I just broke that. Sorry, but yes, you get guidance. And I'm not going to stop and rewind this. I don't know where I was going. Yes, they do give you. Oh, and so that's why tuning in and raising your vibration and using your intuition so is so important. How can I recognize signs from my loved one? Do they try to communicate with me directly? I did an article, if we're going to go themey, I did do an article that's in my Substack about music being, it's a lot of spiritual, or excuse me, spirit's tool to communicate. What's that look like? It briefly, because the articles got kind of long, but I will just briefly tell you. Music is a really good one because it happens to all of us. I've heard so many different people tell the story of, you ever just like drive down the road and all of a sudden a song pops in your head, or you're in the shower and all of a sudden a pop song pops in your head and you don't know why, it won't go away. I used to have that myself all the time before I understood what it was, only to later down the road, meet with a couple of different mediums where they confirmed that that was family members through evidence. But once I understood that that was a sign of family members, now that I'm open to it, a lot of my clients' family will do that, send music. So Yes, music's a great sign, and just random music coming through is a good sign from loved ones. And typically those who loved music and music was part of their identity will be the ones that use music to connect with you. I'm sure there's others, but most everybody that I've ever experienced in that situation, whether it's a client or myself, were all people who had some sort of connection to music, whether they were really into it or they were a musician themselves. Number nine, can you connect with a specific person or is it whoever comes through? I can. Okay, there's a caveat to this. Yeah, I can get anyone come through if you're asking for it. I was trained that not to do that because if spirit doesn't want to come in, then it breaks the heart of the client. Of course, it breaks their heart. But I'm going to explain kind of how I've been able to, or how it has worked through me. What I have found is that if you come to me and you say, I want Uncle Bob to come in, the way he'll come in is you have to be truly open and ready to hear from him. What I have found is oftentimes my client doesn't want to hear from them. They may say they do, but they really don't. Maybe they're not ready. Maybe they think they're ready, but maybe spirit knows they're not. Or maybe they need to have a bigger discussion than the client really is ready for whatever reason. But I can honestly say I don't recall any times, and if any of my clients are listening, you can correct me, but I don't think I've had any time where I didn't see them. They just may stay in the corner, or stay back where they say, yeah, I'm here, but they just don't come forward. And sometimes I may get the message that they won't come forward. Other times, they'll just kind of sit and just like, no, I'm not stepping in. So, yes, I can call them in. Getting names is not something that I'm good at, though. I have had clients give me, or excuse me, spirit give me names, but it hasn't been on request. Personally, I think my theory is because I'm shitty at remembering human or this side people's names. I'm so bad at that. I want to be better, but for some reason, their names go in my mind and go right back out the minute it comes out of their mouth. Unless I've worked with you, or I have a like if I just meet you the first time and I don't have any other interaction, I don't remember names. So some people do, and I believe those mediums who are really good with names are the ones who are really good at getting names. No can do for me. So just so you know, if you're a client looking for a name of your loved one from me, it won't happen. But what I will give you is personality if they come through. I will give you sitting at the table, kind of a conversation. I will give you an experience that includes everything except their name. However, if you give me their name, I can call that person in by name. So yes, kind of yes, and maybe yes. Hopefully that gives you a little bit of clarity. There are mediums out there that do get the names. So don't, if that's something that's super duper important for you, as evidence, then seek out someone who does that. But just understand that that doesn't mean that spirit will give it to them always. So there are some times where we don't always get exactly that. So that's that. What kind of evidence can you provide that it is truly them? I think I mentioned a few things prior. Like I mentioned all kinds of languages, images, descriptions of the loved ones, personality. I may take on mannerisms, evidence that they were bakers. Sometimes it's symbolism, sometimes it's really them. So symbolism wise, I will get like an apron on a woman. And maybe she looks like an old lady, but she wasn't. She just, maybe her soul, she was behaved like an older woman, and liked to cook. So that might be my sign. Other times I've had an apron and it's like, yeah, she wore an apron all the time because she's only in the kitchen. So that sort of thing. Physical ailments. I am an intuitive empath. That means I pick up on every little thing of other people, not everything, but a lot. And I will pick up ailments from either my client that they might be working on that spirit might want to talk about, or I will get ailments from that spirit had that will be evidence that that's them. So it might be something like, oh, my hip hurts or my foot hurts really bad, these sorts of things. Numbers is another one. Sometimes I'll see numbers and it'll relate to what maybe the birth date of a client or the loved one, the spirit, birth date or wedding date or that kind of thing. The key to all of this is paying attention and writing this stuff down so that when I meet with a client or I talk with anyone, I have it noted so I don't forget. But also sometimes you need to do a little research. So if a song keeps coming in, writing it down and kind of doing the research will at least give some further evidence and maybe guidance within that. The next one, how often can I expect to connect with my loved one through a medium? Listen, you can do it as much as you want, but what do I recommend? And again, this is individual. I have clients, in the beginning, I've had clients who needed to work through some traumas with spirit. And so with that kind of thing, they want to connect more often. And I might go every other week for a limited period of time. But in general, if you're looking for guidance in a mediumship and working with spirit within that guidance, I'd say no more than once a month, maybe twice a month. If again, we're working on something specific that you really want to work through sooner than later. But when it comes to talking to spirit directly, like a true just mediumship type of reading, I really don't think any more than once a quarter is necessary. I think you have too much that you need to live life, you need to have some discussion. I mean, you need to have something to talk about. So, and if you take some classes, or I can, someone like myself or another medium, your medium that you meet with, if they can give you some signage, knowing like your loved one gives you this sorts of signage as evidence, you'll also walk away knowing your loved one's around, and maybe that they drop you a sign here and there, and if you see it, you know they're around, so you won't need to pay the money to go to a medium every month or every few weeks. Once a quarter, I think once a quarter is acceptable. I think every 6 months is better, and once a year is great. Every 6 months, if you're working through things or you just some people do it like on their birthday and then a holiday. That's fun, and it gives you that connection to your loved one. That's totally, totally fine. The key though is not to become like addicted to talking to it because you're not growing. You as a human, our job is to continue to progress and grow. And as a medium, my job is to help you do that and uplift you and right serve for the greater good. It's not from the greater good of my pocketbook. So there's a fine line with that. And then what should I expect during a session with someone who communicates with the deceased? So what should I expect with a medium? This is particularly one I really wanted to make sure was included, because I want, if you, I'm not going to be like keep advertising, but if you don't come to some, to me, I'm just going to say, if you don't come to me and you go to anyone else, and if you come to me, this is how I work. And this is how you should expect others to work because of integrity purposes. Okay? And integrity, believe it or not, my skeptics, integrity and ethics are extremely important in this work. We are, and I try not to get on a soapbox, we are working with people's emotions when it comes to doing readings. You don't, excuse my French, but you don't fuck around with people's emotions. You don't fuck with their like psyche like that. That's not okay. Our job is to help them heal. How do we help them heal? By them knowing family's okay, getting some sort of guidance perhaps, and kind of helping them work through their grief in the way that they want to do that. Okay, but our job is not to send fear or ghosts and goblins. Okay, so professionalism is of the utmost. Without getting too much on another soapbox, I tell my students and clients, professionalism is so important. Spirituality, if you want to think of like religion and all that, is all done in a higher, because if you think about universe, if you want to call God, Buddha, whoever it is that you know and serve in terms of a higher power, would never want anything to be negative or hateful or fear-mongering, okay? So there is no way, if anyone's working with spiritual stuff, which means spirit, which is a higher power, you will not have ghost goblins and fear, okay? That's a whole nother thing. What they're doing, anyone who gives you that, that's a different type of mediumship. If you're looking for energy healing, spiritual advisor type guidance, it will always be uplifting. You should feel better leaving than you came in, okay? I wasn't going to get on a soapbox, but I kind of am. Because it upsets me. I'm very protective of people's emotions. It hurts. And maybe that's the empath side of me. But I can't have you guys being taken advantage of and walking out in tears. And ugh, I've seen it and it hurts me. So off the soapbox, Diane. Professionalism, no ghosts, no goblins, no fear mongering. You don't have a dark entity attached to you. You may be going through challenges. Why does it keep happening? Because you haven't learned. And maybe you need to open up and see and just kind of let go of some things that you've been carrying around. Instead of what you're carrying around is not some evil monkey. It is all of the traumas in life you've gone through and you're just not looking at them. There's a whole reason for it, but it isn't ghosts, goblins, and that sort of thing, okay? Evidence-based, any kind of mediumship, guidance has to be evidence-based. So that's extremely important. They should be working under a code of ethics with number one being do no harm. And there's a list of others I won't go through, but that should be major working under a code of ethics. You should feel safe, supported. You should feel comfortable with them. And even though you may not feel like you've gotten, quote, training about intuition, you have intuition. And if it doesn't feel comfortable, if it feels weird, if they make you feel like you are less than or you fucked up or you are a fuck up, anything like that, if they make you feel bad, that is a major red flag. I'm not going to blow smoke up your ass, but I'm also not going to piss all over you. I sounded really rough, but it's true. When you come here, I'm going to give you the truth. But it's in the idea of what you get from spirit and any kind of guidance and mediumship, what you get is to help you, not harm you. It's to uplift you. Okay? So you should, if you don't feel comfortable with someone, you leave and you don't, and you get your money back, okay? Because, but be ethical about it too, okay? Just because you don't like what they said doesn't mean that they're bad. So know the difference. And the other recommendation I would give you, one last thing, is take notes or record the session. That's another good sign, I believe on ethics is if they let you take notes or record your sessions. I allow my clients to do that because I have nothing to hide. I don't tell them that they have disease. I don't do anything unethically. Unethical. I don't do anything unethical, and so I'm okay with them writing things down and recording it because you will forget things. You will get overwhelmed, it will be emotional, and you won't remember things, and you'll want to have the information. And so, yes, take notes at the very least. Take notes. Okay? All right, so hopefully that gave you some insights about mediums and what we do and what to expect and what to, not just to what to expect in the reading, but what you should expect from the medium. Okay? All right, thanks for listening on that. Now I'm going to go ahead and pull a card and give you a brief, oh, we'll see. Just a brief reading. Again, this goes out to the collective. I'm not sure if there's one particular person. The cards I'm using today are the cards I always use in my readings. It's Vintage Wisdom Oracles by Victoria Moseley. Beautiful, beautiful cards. And I work with, in my readings and with my clients, I'm working typically with that vintage elder guidance. So that's what you get here. All right, card came out. Enchantment. I'm listening. Okay. The card is got a woman with her back to the ocean, and there's a sailboat, and I'm seeing, and the water is kind of rough but beautiful, and there's flowers on the around her kind of thing, the border. Okay. All of this is about growth, but she's looking away from where all of the growth is. She's a mermaid, and she's trying to do like where it's unnatural. And when I say that, she has to be in the ocean because that's her home, that's where she lives, that's where she breathes properly, and where her freedom is, right? So, but that she's getting enchanted by what's on this other side, earth, on the ground, right? But she has so much going for her on the in the ocean. It's so beautiful. The sun is coming up. There's the clouds are parting, and she's got these flowers, which shows growth and development and for what I'm hearing, some sort of a feminine power. And so let's the feeling with this is stay within it. This isn't about like you're not allowed. This isn't that. It's not that she's not allowed on land. It's just that it's not good for her. She's much happier. She's much more productive. She's much more free. And also, she's much more capable when she's in the ocean with, which actually, for whatever, what I'm hearing is that there's like billions of different types of organisms and critters and all the things within the ocean. Way more than there is on land. I don't know if that's scientifically true. I'll have to Google that. But that's what I'm hearing. And so for her most benefit is within that ocean and that world where she gets more uplift. And she this land is that's false. It's just like wanting something. You ever hear like grass is greener on the other side? That's what she thinks is happen is the case on the land, but the ocean is actually the green spot, but she doesn't recognize it because she's been told so many times that the land is where you need to be, but it isn't. If she's on land, she will not prosper. If she's on that land, she will wither away because that's not where her strength is. Her power comes from the ocean. The land is where it feels like what I, the words I'm hearing is they're tricking her. They're trying to trick her to come up to the land where they can, once she's on land, she can be controlled, right? So because she don't have her strength. So once she's on land, the image they're giving me is like they're dragging her on land and sticking her in a box of water so that at least she has that and they can like take her around and make her like play, like display her and show what, you know, this is what happens if they want to be here is what I'm hearing. Like whoever these men are who are dragging her around in this box, it's like on the back of a carriage, like that sort of vibe. And they're like, look, look at her, look, she wanted to be here. So if she wants to be here, we're gonna let her be here. And they're putting, and then she's like trying to like, she can't get out of the box. They put her in this box and that's where they're gonna keep her. But the reality was she was great where she was at. So now, somehow, we have to get her back to where she belongs, where her power is. Okay? So, what does this all mean? It feels very feminine power. It feels very like go back, instead of trying to fight them in their own, where they want to be, we need to, and when I say fight, I don't know what that means, but I feel like she. They want her on land because of her power, but this, oh, this is interesting. So imagining, if you would, a woman in a glass box of water, there's enough space for her to come up and breathe like sometimes she likes to do, but overall, it's, she's just in this big crate that's water. And they think that these men, there's a whole bunch of men around her, and they're like dragging her, not her, they're pulling this box through the streets, and everybody's like, what is this? And they said, she's got special powers, and we're going to use them. And so they're like dragging her. That's where this is, okay, that's their interest in her. And she thinks that they have all the power because they're on land anyways, right? That's why she wants to be there. But what she's realizing is that all her power is back in the ocean, and they think that her power is no matter where she's at. And so now they want her to use the power that comes from her ocean. She doesn't have that power on land, and they want her to use that power on land. And it won't work. And they're going to get upset, and they're going to, they'll end up tossing her aside. And all her powers will wither away because she will not be as useful on land to herself or to them as she would have been in the ocean. So the feeling with this is, yes, the grass always seems greener on the other side, but why does it seem that? Because somebody told you that. But maybe your power, maybe the power is within where you feel the most comfortable, right? Where you can breathe easier, where you can stretch and move. Then once you're comfortable, then you can control your power. And then you can really do something with the power. And so somehow, I'm not sure how this connects, but the feeling is this, that this female power needs to come from where we own it, from our own backyard, so to speak, from our own ocean. That's where we are our strongest, wherever this is our power. We need to stop trying to, and maybe this is a feminine versus masculine power. So where we as women have been told we need to be more masculine, and then once you're masculine and you think that that's the power, and then you realize, oh my God, that is not the power. I own the power. They want me to be, I have to play by their rules, but when you play by their rules, as a woman, then they don't want you playing by their rules because then you're kind of like a mirror to them. So quit doing that. We have to serve our greater good as we are aligned to do, utilizing our strengths and doing that in the place that our power exists. We shouldn't be taking our power. Now, if your power, and I'm not saying women shouldn't be doing like business with men. This isn't like that. This is more about if you're going to, the imagery is showing me, like, if you're going to do that, if you need to work with someone else's power, like coordinate with other powers, you need to do that from the point of your strength, not point of their strength. And so like this woman that I'm seeing in the box, her power isn't just the water, it's everything that's within the ocean. Otherwise, and that's why she's not powerful. Oh, this is interesting. That's why she's not powerful on land, whether she's in a box or not. Because her strength is within her community. Her strength's within her community. Our strength is within our community. I just got the chills. I don't know exactly know what that means, but it feels like whoever's listening, you all, we need to, whatever this is, as women, the feminine power, we need to stop trying to use our power like in someone else's image. We need to use our power within our own image, within our own strength. Interesting. Whew, I'm not sure what that means. If you do, if this connects to you and you're willing to share it, please reach out and let me know. I'd love to hear how these things land for you. If you feel like it means something bigger, let me know what your thoughts are. I'd love to hear them. Check me out on Substack this week or this month. I already published an article. What was that one about? That was about mediumship. And so feel free to check that out. Reach out to me if you would like. If you'd like a reading, again, Diane Reiser at Oak and Tusk Guidance Services. Or you can also reach out to me through the Substack, which is Trust Issues by Diane at Substack. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope you have a beautiful month. We're almost through it already. I hope it's a good one. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.